Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Every week we talk about media coverage of religion with our friends at Get Religion. Bobby Ross Jr. is going to join us to talk about a couple of those stories. Is it media bias or is it just sloppiness in journalism that leads to some of the misreporting, some of the underreporting in religion stories? Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
Now, let's go to the Seattle story first regarding these parishes that have opted out of the bishop's suggestion that they gather names for a petition aiming at that referendum on same-sex marriage. What's missing from the Seattle Times coverage of the story?
Well, to me, the big question that they haven't answered is why. We know that several parishes have declined to circulate this petition among their parishioners, but are they doing it because they disagree with the archbishop on the issue of same-sex marriage? Are they concerned about inserting politics into the parish? It's the insinuation is that it's defiance of the archbishop and that they disagree, which may well be true, but the coverage failed to explain that or even ask the question of why, which to me, you know, you have the 5W as an H in journalism, and they've left out what is often the big WY is missing.
So, in other words, does the coverage that you found there in the Times, does it leave open the question as to why, or does it insinuate that there's a reason why without substantiating that insinuation?
Well, yeah, it insinuates that you've got several parishes there that disagree with the archbishop who has been rather outspoken against the new law that I guess the legislature passed there in Washington State allowing same-sex marriage, and the archbishop sent out a letter or a communique to parishioners saying, you know, I'd really like people to sign the petition and get this issue on a referendum ballot so that the voters in the state can overturn this. And then you've got, but he didn't order that they make this petition available, that he left it up to the individual parishes and individual circumstances. So you've got some that have declined to do so, but it's just totally unclear whether they're doing so in defiance of the law and disagreement on the issue of the Catholic teaching on marriage, or whether it's a matter of we don't want to have, this is a political issue and we should be focused on other things.
There's something else here, and that is it's reported that there's support from 56% of lay Catholics for same-sex unions. Was there any citation? Was there any substantiation for that claim?
None at all. That's just put out there as a fact. So you have no idea whether the 56% is the Times talking to ever how many people you would have to get that figure, or if there's, you know, if it's a Gallup survey, or if it's a Pew report, or I mean, I would assume the number's coming from somewhere, but you know, in less sloppy journalism, you would cite the source, and then I could decide whether it's a source that I want to trust or whether it's a number that I want to believe in.
On the same story, you also came across a Seattle Post-Intelligencer story there. What was the angle there, and was something missing too?
Well, the angle there was in this, I think, was a news kind of bloggy, a newsy post on a blog about one of the Catholic churches where when the priest announced that the parish wouldn't gather signatures, there was a standing ovation. And what, you know, and then there were some comments from the priest that in this case it makes it sound pretty clear that the priest does have an issue with the position the archbishop's taking. But the thing missing there is once again the why of why did you stand up and applaud? Why And then the other thing is, you know, no attempt at all was made to get the side of the archbishop to tell the other side of the story to get any kind of reaction.
Well, let me ask you a why question. Why do you think it is that this kind of basic questions of the subjects of stories doesn't get asked in these cases?
You know, I don't know if it's a matter of space, and we've got a tight amount of space to do this, or if it's just, you know, they're just, you know, making an assumption that this must be why they're doing this, or, you know, or if it's, you know, I hate to think that it would be bias, but, you know, in some cases it seems like, you know, maybe there's a bias on the part of whoever's reporting it that they kind of happy that these churches are taking this position, so this is the angle they want to spin on it.
The other story I wanted to talk to you about was Baptists' opposition to the Texas state lottery, and you cite some headlines, one from the San Angelo Standard-Times, Baptists lobby for elimination of Texas lottery, from the Abilene Reporter News, some Baptists want Texas lottery commission shut down, and from none other than the Dallas Morning News, and that's no small outlet there, Baptist group calling on state to abolish Texas lottery. Were these religion-angled stories?
Well, you certainly had Baptist in the headline, but once you read the story, you find out that they're quoting someone from a Baptist lobbying group, the Baptist Christian Life Commission. But it's a political story, and it's a person from a Baptist lobbying organization making a political argument about the success or not of the Texas lottery, which kind of, you know, threw me for a loop, because I read Baptist in the headline and was thinking there's got to be a religion angle to this. And, you know, to me, an obvious question that you should ask, you know, when a religious group is involved is what's the religious motivation for being involved in this? And that's just, you know, that's a question that wasn't tackled.
And it simply would have been a matter of asking or answering the question, going to your average Baptist pastor or one who's been vocal on the issue and say, what's your moral objection?
Yeah, and they may well, you know, I've covered some of these issues where they may well try to spin it back to, well, it's a morality issue because of the fact that it's a regressive tax on the poor, and you know, I don't know if I'm making much sense, but you know, to some extent it may help their case if they can focus on the politics and the economics, because you know, a lot of the polling data that I've seen, a majority of Americans have no problem with the morality of gambling. So if you're out there trying to make a moral argument, you may not have as much success in the political arena as if you're making a political and economic argument. But I guess my point is, as a reporter in dealing with a religious group, you still have I still see an obligation to try to answer that question and try to get at the fact of, is this really a political and economic issue, or is this kind of the arguments you're making because of a deeper moral objection to what's happening here?
One other quick story, and this is still in the Texas area, in the Dallas area, in fact. Ed Young made some news over the Easter weekend for having live animals, in particular a caged lion, on stage during his Easter sermon. I don't know what he was trying to say, but how was it covered in the news?
Well, and I'm not sure of the exact, I guess, timeline, but it looks like maybe a local TV station kind of jumped on it and had an animal rights activist who went to the service and raised some concerns about how the lion and apparently there was a lamb crying, scared of the lion, raised some issues there. And you know, generally it was covered from that angle of outraged animal rights activist. And then the Dallas Morning News picked up on the story as well and pretty much took it the same direction.
Were there any kind of basic factual errors in the coverage there?
Well, yeah, there was, you know, as far as trying to explain the role of the lamb in the sermon, the Morning News quoted a scripture from Revelation, and the citing they gave was Revelation 6:5. So I, you know, in the post I did, I Googled that to kind of try to understand what that scripture was saying, and it was a totally different verse than I was looking for. So then I plugged in the words, and it turned out they had transposed the 6:5, and it was actually Revelation 5:6, which immediately made me wonder how much time they had really spent trying to understand that, to get such a basic fact wrong in a news story. The fact that the reporter got it wrong, and then apparently a copy editor and nobody along the way thought to just quickly verify that they had the right scripture citation with the verse that they were quoting in the story.
The coverage of that story, Bobby, with about 30 seconds here, causes you to opine for, as you say, the good old days when the Dallas Morning News had people on staff who could cover the God beat a little more thoroughly. What were your thoughts there?
Well, they used to have three or four full-time God beat writers. They had a standalone religion section on Saturday that would go into a lot of details, and now we're left with the paper following a TV station on a story and having the environmental writer be the one to do the story instead of an actual religion writer, which to me is sad.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience with secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to talk about faith and reason. Now, we have been conditioned by our culture, especially a culture that has increasingly loud atheistic voices, to draw a very dark, bold line between those two things. Faith is one thing. That's kind of believing things for no good reason. You believe them because you like it, or you want it to be true, or you think it's true, but there's no reason for it, right? There's no proof for it. That's what we're taught faith is. And some Christians even say this. They say, well, it's the substance of things hoped for, the essence of things believed. That's faith. It's kind of that misty thing out there. And then there's reason on the other side of that bold line, and that's where there are facts. There's real truth. Should that line be there? We'll talk about faith and reason with Pastor Bill Swirla right after this.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues, Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues, Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues, Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. And Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Austin Pregnancy Support Centers again face unfriendly ordinances.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
After agreeing to take a closer look at its sign law last fall, the city of Austin has exchanged one problematic ordinance for another. It continues to require pro-life centers to post negative signs. For example, even pregnancy centers that offer ultrasounds under a doctor's supervision must post signs declaring they are not licensed to offer ultrasounds, even though there is no such thing as a facility licensed to perform ultrasounds. Pro-life attorneys in Texas have filed motions for both an injunction and restraining order to prevent enforcement of the revised ordinance.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.